This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hazy completely led me down the wrong path again. You told me that this Borat stuff's funny. I'm telling you, I watched that. It's the dumbest. It's the dumbest 2 hours of anything I've ever. That is the worst thing I've ever watched.
That doesn't surprise me. You have no sense of humor.
Did you,
No sense of humor. I have not seen the second one yet. No.
You go ahead and watch that tonight. I'll pay for it for you to watch it to see how dumb that is. And you call me and you tell me that there's anything dumber in life than that 2 hours of whatever.
I guarantee you won't get that call. Like, I don't need to see it to know that I'm going to like it. I may not like it as much as I like the first one. The first one is spectacular and Borat, the character, like in the Ali G show back in the day, is just outrageously funny. It's one of the truly great comedies of all time, the Ali G show.
High five.
There he is with Ali G and Borat and Bruno. Like, they're just, all of them are ridiculous, outrageous, offside, not politically correct.
Yeah,
but you're allowed to laugh. I think we're still allowed to laugh at times in 2020. I think so.
Well, just laugh behind closed doors.
Right. You don't want to offend anyone because you're laughing.
Yeah. No, but it
did you watch it, Jamie?
I did. I mean, as I predicted, and I told Brian this on this show, I think you were off. I'm not sure how it would go over in today's world because, you know, some of the things he says and does are not politically correct. So, you know, they're sometimes cringeworthy because you're like, oh, I don't know. But ultimately, that's his thing. Like, that's what Borat does. Like, it starts off right away, like, it's political, right? There's a picture of Justin Trudeau in there. He goes after the whole thing. It goes after everyone in there, put it that way. So I wrote to Brian on the weekend because I knew that he was going to watch it and said, I liked it, but I thought it was a touch political where I was like, you know, people are going to have a problem with it. So,
but what do I care what other people feel about anything?
Right.
I don't go ahead, be offended, don't watch it. I don't care, but I'm allowed to have my own sense of humor and allowed to react whichever
Agreed.
Way I choose. I couldn't care less how other people respond. So
Agreed.
You know, including yourself. Oh, like, that's too bad that you clearly have a distorted sense of humor. But you know, that's your
dude,
issue.
You
that's
know me. You know I like to laugh. You know I find stuff funny. But this is, I watched this. I thought to myself, this is the worst 2 hours of anything I've ever watched. I don't find that funny at all.
Well, playing a character, if it doesn't catch.
Right. Jamie, could you understand how I could have thought that, like watching that?
Well,
maybe the first one was funny, but watching this one, I was like, man, this is flat out garbage.
Well,
anyway.
You have to watch. Like, I think you should never watch number two without watching number one to see
what the person's all about. Never. I'm glad I watched it too.
Let me ask everyone a question. What is a better sequel? Like, name me a movie where the sequel's better than the original. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, maybe action movies. You could make that argument, but with comedies,
Die Hard with a Vengeance instead of Die Hard, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I get that, but like, I'm talking like Dumb and Dumber. Remember Dumb and Dumber or whatever the hell that was?
The worst movie ever.
Horrible. Yeah, a comedy trying to go like Austin Powers. The second one was pretty good.
I thought that was pretty good. Say that. Yeah,
Wayne's World 2 isn't bad either. Like, Wayne's World 2 is pretty good.
There's some good ones. Like, there's ones that are parallel, but like I'm saying, like, it's rare. Like, Borat 2 is not Borat 1, but it's along the same lines of humor. So if you liked 1, I thought 1 was hilarious. I thought 2 had some funny parts. That's all as far as I'll go.
Sure.
But like, 1 was hilarious because it was so shocking. And you know, he loves the nudity stuff, and there's a guy running around there guy.
The fight scene in the hotel room. Oh, you got to see this from Borat 1.
In Borat 1, yeah.
It is just the guy's got no gear on, and there's
clip it and email.
There's
it to
a Peter
me,
Jacobson a moment.
Yeah, it is. There's a roasted turkey.
Borat's snout is nestled somewhere, and it's a problem. And then the guy's running through the halls like it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But again, if it doesn't catch, if someone's playing a part, like, you know, comedies you don't get it. And if it's not your thing, then you're going to think it's awful. I totally understand that.
I had an awful experience the last couple nights because you guys know I love to watch movies on the side and all that, whether I'm working out or whatever. So on Cineplex.com, you can rent movies. And I've rented a couple. Well, two nights in a row, I've had awful, awful experiences. And just one was with Alec Baldwin, and it was the worst movie I've ever seen.
I know which
seen.
One you're talking about, Improper Murder or something?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God, is that garbage?
So are you picking at random noodles, or did you choose yourself?
I bought it for $4.99.
Me too.
And it was something
imperfect murder.
And it's with Sienna Miller and Alec Baldwin. And I thought, oh, that looks pretty good. It was 71 minutes long, and it is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. All it is four guys come into her condo, and they shoot the breeze, and then she throws a guy in a trunk and into the water. And I was like, that's garbage.
Garbage. Well, don't tell the whole story. But
well,
anyway,
no, there's no one's going to watch it. Anyone, based on this Siskel and Ebert review, I mean, this is one star for both of you.
It is the worst movie ever. And then I went and read the Rotten Tomatoes. Even people were like, this is the worst movie. There were 30
reviews. I don't
trust
the online, though. I don't trust the reviews. I never trust the reviews. Because a lot of those are slanted as well. Like, oh, this is a little bit too edgy. Well, that means it's probably funny. But you don't want to give a quality review for it. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How you doing, Ray?
I'm good. Now, you guys are talking about a movie made, like, recently?
Well, yeah, it says 2017.
It's garbage.
Because you run out of movies, Noodles. You're a movie guy.
I know, but this one, it's actually been either re-released for 2021, and it's 71 minutes long. What movie is a brilliant movie at 71 minutes long?
That's tough. That's very tough.
That's the length of Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was red rotten. I kept waiting for it to turn and
garbage.
Like almost and it was
ruined
just
my life too.
The end of the movie, I was like, I'll never get that 71 minutes back ever.
Ray, I got to ask you something. If I called you up and said me and you are going to tee it up tomorrow and then it was with a person who you were not really familiar with, and then I called you and said, look, man, I can't make it, but the guy really said he was looking forward to see. Would you still go without me?
Depending on your recommendation.
But you know the guy. You're familiar with the guy.
Oh, I thought you said, like, it's through your setup.
Yeah,
do I
but,
like
you,
the guy?
But you're very familiar with the guy.
Yeah, well, do I like the guy? I mean, you can be familiar with a guy and eh, or it
depends. The guy doesn't necessarily like you. I mean, that's a part of the context here as well.
It's Darcy Tucker, and he doesn't really like Hayes, but like he I don't know.
He doesn't like my on-air persona sometimes. Right. He doesn't appreciate some of my opinions over the years, and he's not alone. So you and him would
kick it off. What happens if Darcy gets out there and in the fifth hole, he's like, hey, now, I know Hayes is a jackass on the air, but he's not a bad guy.
Well, that's what I'm banking on tomorrow morning, because I'm going
to
be there.
Or he might look and go, do I have to watch this swing for 13 more holes?
That is also a concern. It's at his course, and if he's dialed and I'm choppy, that's probably not going to help the relationship out. But O's the one that pulled all the strings, and then he's like, yeah, you're still, you know, we're good to go, but I'm not coming. I'm like, well, what does that mean then? Like, you know, like.
So maybe the real story is O's just tired of playing with you.
Well, no, I'm not. Exactly. I'm not. I have adulting to do. Like, I have financial stuff to deal with, lawyers, condo closings. I'm busy.
Okay,
and I literally.
So why did you set this up? Like,
it was a possibility. It was a possibility, and we were looking to play this week. And Hayes got us out at a goat ranch, and we played there. And then this really wasn't an option. So then it actually became an option, and I said, look, I'm not driving back out there again, but Hazy probably will come. And then Tux and the other guy were like, tell Brian to come.
Yeah, I'm there. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
But then I knew you're like a 10-year-old. You're like, well, you know, my wife might have to work, and I don't know. And I knew it was a lie.
No, that was 100% the truth.
It was. No, it wasn't.
It was 100%
the
truth.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
You better not go there and suck, Hayes.
Well,
that's
exactly.
A thing.
That's my problem. I'm gonna chunk one. We saw a guy today. Oh, my Lord, did we see a setup. This was a 20-second delay between like over the ball and pulling the trigger, right? Like 20 seconds if it was a second, right? Oh, like he
said. So he's standing over the ball?
20 seconds getting in the zone. And
he was eye screwing the ball, eye screwing it.
He topped it twice and then finally just picked it up and said, I'll drop one out there.
And like, would you not say it's somewhere, like, okay, by the second time when this is happening, are you not kind of under your breath, but just loud enough, go hit
it? Come on. Yeah, come on, Pally.
No, like, you just got to go.
This guy, the evidence in this guy, what he was doing out there, was in the proof was in what was behind him. Two guys in a cart, and there was a foursome of old dudes walking right up the rear end. You know, because I, as soon as he topped it, I look back, I go, I saw them all coming. Just older dudes with walking carts. I'm like, they are right on their tail. That should never happen.
No, it's so true. If you're a twosome in carts and a four-pack walking is behind you and right on you.
You need to get a new hobby.
It's a problem.
Well, I will say this, though, that like at our course, there's a couple of groups, older guys, and they play so fast. Like, I'm not even sure if they hit the ball or if they're just there walking around. Like, all no matter where you are, they're like, they're there. And they hit, nobody misses a fairway. They all hit it about 175 or 80 yards. It's like polo. They
just it's money.
Walk up, boom, hit it, boom, boom.
Yep.
Two putts, and they're on the next tee. And you're like, holy smokes, man, these guys are fast. And you're like feeling a little pressure. And they could care less. If you're slow, they're like, and these guys, they're like, eh. No, we got all kinds of time. Where else have we got to go? They're giving us one of those, except they're right up your ass every time you turn around.
Right. Their discrepancy between scores is like three shots at most every day. It's the exact same thing. 82, 83, 82 for 30 years. Yeah, it's money. Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about this signing with Galchenyuk in Ottawa. And whenever he comes up, the 2012 draft follows suit. Like, we brought it up in the last hour, and immediately people started tweeting it. They're like, how about that 2012 draft where that was Yakupov 1, Ryan Murray 2, Galchenyuk 3, Griffin Reinhardt 4.
Wow.
That's got to be the worst top four in draft history. Like, it has got to be.
Well, I can't imagine that you're going to, you know, you're going to challenge that. I mean, Ryan Murray's a serviceable guy who's been hurt forever.
Where did he just get traded? Sorry to interrupt. Where did he just got traded somewhere?
Did he go to Carolina?
I can't. I'll have to look it up. Like
New Jersey, sixth or seventh round pick, later pick.
You're right. Yeah,
But you know, I was doing the Oiler games then, and Yakupov was, or doing a lot of them at that time, and Yakupov was the number one pick, and he played like he was chased by bees. And like he was like,
that's the best description of a hockey player of all time. He plays like he's being chased by bees.
It's busy. He's going fast. His arms are moving fast, and like nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And so, and then Galchenyuk, remember, he was like, he blew his knee out at the first part of the year. He missed most of his draft year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did he play at all?
Yeah, they were teammates in Sarnia.
Galchenyuk was hurt. I want to say he played like 15 games.
Yeah, I don't even know if
that. Yeah, he barely played that year. Yeah, he barely played.
And so remember Montreal, that was their big center, and then they get him there and they go, wait a minute, this guy can't play center.
Well,
not only can he not play center, he doesn't want to play center.
Exactly. Oops. And Morgan Riley went fifth to the Leafs, and Riley had the same issue. He blew his knee out, right? And he barely played, I think, his draft year.
Now, from that line that you hear every draft, and you go, man, these GMs are just, they're full of poop every year. Berkey said, we got the guy that we had ranked first. And everyone's like, yeah, right. He's fifth. Yeah, as if, he was 100% right.
Yeah,
like, clearly, Morgan Riley was the pick.
Oh, absolutely. Of the four guys in front of him, like you – obviously, you wouldn't make a trade Morgan Riley for all four of their careers combined. Like,
no. And you know what's crazy? Morgan Riley and Griffin Reinhardt played minor hockey in the same hockey club. Like, they played together all the time. Griffin's dad, Paul, and Andy Riley, Morgan's dad, they coached the teams.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, they were together.
Would you say this is the last shot for Galchenyuk? It's got to be. I mean, I'm surprised he's gone on to another team.
Yeah, I have to believe so, too. it's like nothing really happens when he's out there. And so I wonder at what point, he's not fast, he's not aggressive. I know he's got a good shot. He came alive a little bit, I'd say, at the end in Minnesota, but, man, with the guys out there, I don't know that he would have been the guy that I would say, hey, you know what, he could maybe give us a pop of offense. I don't think I would have thought that.
Right.
No. I guess this is an example of a high pick continuing to get chances, but he's not in Montreal anymore. So
no, but it's a low-value signing, too, $1 million.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. But, he's got to take advantage.
But I guess after a while you go, is there even, what's the potential for some reclamation? Or is he going to get, in an 80-game season, is he going to get 7 goals and 5 assists? I'll go find somebody else then. But, man, he's I was surprised. I didn't even know if I looked at that and I went, oh, I guess he was going to sign. I was kind of just, it was kind of an odd thing to even see.
You know what? The only thing I could think of when I saw the signing is I thought, okay, it's not a term deal. It's $1 million. You could throw that away, based on not a lot of money relative to everyone else. That's when I thought of analytics. Is there something that they see? Is there some, underlying number that they like, or is there something that's where, sometimes off the top of our head, we'll look at a player and go, you know what? I don't see a lot there, but maybe they value something that they think is a reclamation project. I don't know.
Or they're just trying to round out their roster to put some NHL guys in there to support
those young guys. That's a good point. They need to continue to add. If you can't force feed all of these young players into the lineup if you're Ottawa. You've got to allow them to grow too.
But you've got to add the right. You got to add the right vets, eh, Noodles?
I agree.
You got to add the guy who he might not be what he used to be, but man, he's somebody that you can rely upon. You can count upon to hold somebody accountable a little bit at practice, to go up and, smack Tim Stützle in the pants and go, hey man, we got to get working here. We need more. And Stützle looks at him and goes, oh, yeah. He's kind of fallen asleep as an 18-year-old. Is Galchenyuk going to do that? I mean, it doesn't appear to. So that I think would be the other thing. I mean, as far as the analytics, I don't know. Maybe they called Kevin Cash. And they said, should we sign him? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Yep.
That's
the robot
where I was
himself.
Going.
Kevin Cash is just a whipping boy. And nothing's going to change. It's only going to continue to develop. I mean, we're really in the early stages of analytics and analytically driven game planning. But it's too bad because they have no payroll. They don't have an overwhelming amount of talent. And yet, he got them to Game 6 of the World Series. It should be a triumphant moment, even in defeat. It should be, wow, what a managerial display. But it's not now. It's just, I can't believe you took out Blake Snell. How could you do that?
But the crazy part is, of the crazy parts of it, is that twice in the last 2 weeks, they have had starting pitchers go through and get into the third time through the lineup. Charlie Morton did it in Game 7. Of the last series, and Tyler Glasnow did it just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so the three hitters coming up, when the ninth hitter got the base hit, I'm watching, you see him pop right out. I'm like, don't do it. And of course, he's coming out, and he'd struck out Betts and Seager
and
Turner six times in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the thing about analytics, of course, is because there's a game plan and you're looking at numbers and past experiences to predict future performance, and the guy they bring in's given up a run 6 games in a row. Well, it was perfect because he gave up one for 7 games in a row.
Right. Where are the analytics on that? That Nick Anderson's coming in and he is ice cold.
Here's the thing I think I came up with analytics and why they can't be everything. Analytics don't have eyes. They have no eyes. And so last night, whether your numbers say, hey, Blake Snell's never gone 6 innings this year, Last night he'd thrown 70 pitches, and he was dead money. And the analytic took him out of the game, and on that night, this guy had it. Maybe he doesn't have it all the time, but on this night, you have to look at it, in my opinion, and go, man, this is not a robot. Some nights he throws 70 pitches, he's all over the place, and we got to get him out of there. Not tonight.
No, he was feeling it, clearly. He was feeling it, and it didn't matter. That's what I think has to be aggravating if you're a Tampa Bay Ray fan. And if you're a manager in baseball, you know, now, like, you're not allowed to necessarily make a call or have a pulse or even have a gut. You know, the Jays went through it game one. Shoemaker came out. It was just, that was the plan. Shoemaker's coming out. And he was lights out as well.
You can plan for it, and I see why teams do, and I see what they're trying to accomplish. But there are so many variables into a game that I think you have to let the game breathe a little bit. As you're there, you're going to have to make decisions that you might not make all the time. It's not a total randomness. It's, you know, because you have your, you still have your plan, but on that night, that day, it was not the right thing. I'll tell you the telltale moneymaker for me was after the game when they asked Betts and Bellinger and Sager about it, and all three of them said, yeah, man, I was surprised he came out.
Yeah, and thank God.
Yeah, yeah. When the other team is saying that, probably not the best idea.
No.
Yeah, they made it abundantly clear that their eyes were lighting up when Snell came out of the game. And he didn't want to come out either. I mean, that's another part of it.
Oh, that was clear.
Yeah, that was very clear. And there are guys that know themselves, know their bodies, and know where the gas tank is at. And it's like, you know, I know I'm humming, but I had to really dig deep for that last one. Get me out. And that was not the case. And that's another shame, you know, here. This is what we were talking about earlier. It's not only the managers that are, you know, victims of analytics, which is a bit heavy, but it's the players, right? Like the players and the game we used to watch and game we grew up with, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. I mean, sports evolve and they continue to evolve and they always will. But 20 years ago, a guy in Snell's position, an ace, game six, rolling like that, even if the manager was coming out, he'd put up the stop sign and say, don't even think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't even come up. Get don't even get close to this mound. I am not coming out.
At the very least, he'd be asked, like, do you want to come out? Not give me the ball.
And now it's not, it doesn't matter. It's, we've decided you're out.
Jack Morris tweeted in something yesterday, and you remember he threw that 10-inning shutout. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if the manager was walking out there in the sixth to tell him he's throwing too much?
Never.
He would have taken him down with a figure four leg lock. Like, there's no chance he was coming out.
Jack Morris is
times, man.
Yeah, he's the guy with the big mustache, right?
Oh, yeah. Grittiest looking.
He looked like the manager from Major League, didn't he?
Like, he looked like Lou.
The dead ringer of Lou Brown. I think he works in a car shop during the offseason.
Wow. And if you remember, the one game there where the old-timer was on the mound, Lou left him in Major League. And Lou
Harris.
Ed Harris.
Yeah, give him everything you got, Ed. Yeah,
you got to trust the old cagey veteran in those situations. Didn't happen last night. And the Dodgers, they benefit from it. How about that Justin Turner story, too? I mean, that is one of those, you know, exclusively COVID stories where I find myself stopping because I'm like, wait a minute. He's a grown man. He's 35 years old. He was told this is the way it's supposed to work. He should follow those rules and protocols.
I do feel bad for the guy, Brian, because this guy turned himself into a real good player. And down the road, when you're going to talk about this guy, what are you going to talk about? You're not going to talk about world championship. You're going to say, that's the guy with COVID that ran on the field.
No, exactly.
It's brutal for him, man.
And that's what
I'm saying.
And
he did it to himself.
He did it to himself, but it's also this idea that you win a World Series. You're 35. You've been in the league for a decade plus. You've been at the World Series three times with the Dodgers. You finally get it, and someone comes to you and goes, no. Even though you feel 100%, no symptoms, and you've been playing. No, you got to go sit in that corner.
I got to hand it to Major League Baseball because they started out like a bunch of doofuses, and they finished like a bunch of doofuses.
Yeah.
They looked like donkeys at the start when they had no plan, and then Manfred had screwed things up 14 different ways, and then they start, and the Cardinals are 15 games behind everyone because everyone had COVID because a bunch of guys went out to a restaurant and ended up contracting the virus, and then they get to here. How this is the thing that I look at with this. Well, two things. One is, in the bubble protocol, how can you let a player start a game with an inconclusive status? Like, he was tested prior, and they had an inconclusive test. Well, that would mean you've got to wait, I would think, under normal protocol. You would have to wait until we get that result back.
Yeah, you're out of like the game. The game will continue, but you can't play.
Like, that's just – that's it's like a guy pulls a hamstring. He goes on the 10-day DL. After 8 days, he goes to the manager. He's like, I feel great. He's like, yeah, that's good. I can't use you for 2 days. Like, there's a rule to it.
Right.
This one, it seems like, and if you watched Manfred, my interpretation was he was like, oh, boy, he's paddling now. Like, he was not comfortable trying to come up with how that timeline worked because it was a mess. The second thing is when that – Turner's been in L.A. long enough, you would assume he had some kind of relationship with the PR department. And so that PR guy in a bad spot has to probably go to him and say, Justin, if you take one more step on the field, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, man, we just can't. Like, he just plowed right through. He's like, yeah, to hell with everybody else and to hell with the protocols. I want my picture with the trophy and celebrate with my guys. And I totally get why he would want to do that. I totally get it. It just was wrong.
I know. It was wrong. And for all the guys that were outraged and saying this guy should be banished to death, they had to be competitive and win a world championships, as dumb as this was, I don't think they have any understanding what that moment would be like because, I don't know.
Well, to be told
everyone's
that you're out.
So disgusted about this. And it's bad. It's bad news. But
yeah,
you think of the competitiveness that goes into that moment and the elation. You're the top of the mountain, and you're just, I guess you just tell somebody to buzz off. Not the right thing to do, but, man, it would be tough not to do it.
But Major League Baseball, they had to separate themselves from him today. Like, they did that.
Oh, did they ever.
No, they're burying him, and he's going to get clipped. Like, he's going to get suspended. He's going to get fined. The Dodgers are going to take a massive hit, too. You have to. Like, what's the point of having rules and protocols, even if they're goofy and it seems like they're almost just winging it? There was a protocol. Came back, positive, you got to go. He didn't. He fought through security, went out there. You're going to have to chew on that. And I'm sure now he's willing to accept it. You know, whatever. He's probably like, I don't care if I don't play the first 100 games next year, you know.
Yeah, and now that everybody else has got to sit around and wait to get tested, I mean, you would think that, you know, everybody would be a little bit nervous anyway for
absolutely.
Today. I would be.
He was right in the middle of it all, right? They're all out there doing their thing.
Pictures,
so.
Kissing the cup.
How about Major League Baseball? Not only did they throw him under the bus, then once they got him under there, they were rolling back and forth on top of him.
Oh, yeah. There were speed bumps and everything. It was a full-fledged bus-throwing operation. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5:05.
Talk to you later, Hayes. Do not screw up the foursome tomorrow.
I won't. I'm there.
Play with confidence. Don't try to be the funny guy and tell a bunch of jokes. Just play.
Nope. Just
I think you can pull this off.
Business. I will keep you posted. Okay?
It's I'm looking
happen.
Online for the scores.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
I'll let you know
later.
Tomorrow. There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com. Jerry's percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry!
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's percentages brought to you by BPC Best Portuguese Chicken. From 2 people to 300, let BPC Best Portuguese Chicken do the cooking. 942 on the Queensway or bestpc.ca. You guys ready to hear from Jerry this week?
Ready to rock.
Yes.
The stars are aligning for the NHL to squeeze in next season with a Jerry twist. In our Canadian division, where only one team makes the playoffs, Jerry's getting frisky just thinking about it. I just need Ronald Fair and the players to put a smile on and do what they're told. Because this is going to be glorious.
Interesting. Ronald Fear and the players just need to put a smile on so Jerry can get his All-Canadian division with only one team making the playoffs.
That's so you,
that would be ideal for him.
That's not happening.
It's not happening with one team makes the playoffs.
Don't ask me. I'm not the commissioner. I don't know the way things work around here.
That would have – you want to talk about Canadian hockey? Oh, my God.
Imagine if Jerry said, because of the borders and COVID, only one team can make the playoffs.
Yeah, three from all the other American divisions, only one from Canada.
That wouldn't go over so well. No. Let's get to the hot takes from Jerry.
This year's Super Bowl, which will likely lose the ratings battle to our battle of the desert between Vegas and Arizona, will feature a team from the NFC West.
That will be tough to beat. Arizona, you know, you never know what's going to happen with the Coyotes, and Golden Knights are going to be a good team. I don't know if the Super Bowl will be able to beat that on NBC. But one of the Seahawks, the Niners, the Rams, or the Cardinals will be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
I'm going to say 75% because I like the Seahawks that much. That's the only team. I think the Cardinals are a nice story with the kid in his second year. But the Rams, I don't know. I don't know about the Rams if they're for real or not. They're returning to 2 years ago. I just don't know about that. And the 49ers, I don't see them climbing back on top to dominance. The Seahawks are my only team, and I really like them, so I'm going to say 75%.
How about your boy Carlos Dunlap getting traded from Cincinnati? He put his condo online, and now he's in Seattle.
Good for him. He got what he wanted.
Well, now it's legit. Now he's got to sell that condo.
Yeah,
and they got him the hell out of there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was fine with that. Like, get him – you're disgruntled. Like, don't sit on that for weeks. Like, get him out of there the next day, which, you know, that's fine. But
yeah, you got to make that move. You had to. And it's a lost season in Cincy. What an upgrade for him. He goes from Cincinnati to Seattle.
No kidding.
It's a big get for him. What's your Jerry's over there, Noodles?
40%. I'm just playing the field. Like, you know – there's some good teams there, but I'm going to play the field against them. Basically.
Yeah, I like that. Like, the NFC's out. NFC East is out, clearly. No one from that division is even sniffing a Super Bowl. So you're talking the Packers, the Buccaneers, and the Saints. Those are the three legitimate contenders going up against the NFC West. And I'll say 50% because of that. You know, I think three teams are coming out of the West. At this point, I think it'll be Seattle, the Rams, and Arizona. Well, the Niners, if they get healthy, they got a bunch of guys who are done for the year, so I don't think they can get healthy enough, but they'll be in the mix. They're a good team. They're well coached. But it's 3-3. It's those three teams out west who are all pretty good teams, and the Packers, the Bucks, and the Saints. So I'll say 50%.
Alex Ovechkin will be a UFA after next season, and Jerry thinks he walks in Washington. Maybe all the way back to the KHL. Swear to God.
All the way back to the K. This is a story that has not been brought up enough. I thought of this earlier in the hour. Anthony Duclair representing himself. Alex Ovechkin allegedly representing himself as well. And my understanding is, you know, there's been an extension tabled by the team and it's been turned down by Ovi. And Jerry thinks he's walking on the Capitals.
Yeah, no, I'm low on this. I'm
not that low, man.
I'm
7%. 7%?
I think he's a lifer there. I think they're just trying to figure out a price point. Like where's Ovi gonna go?
Anywhere he wants.
No, I know, but I'm saying what's his price point? Is he a $10 million a year guy now?
Not after next year. I don't think he can be. Not with a flat cap, and he'll be 36 or whatever.
I know, the guy does is produce.
I know he does.
I'm going to go 50% with the caveat that he just might want to pull a Kevin Durant. He might notice the group around him is just not going to be the same. and he can jump ship and join some up-and-coming team and be the veteran guy that puts it all together. And there's also the Russia factor, Russian players. He seems like one of those guys. I mean, Kovalchuk did it in his prime almost, in part of his prime anyway. Who's to say Ovi doesn't want to walk away and play a couple of years in Russia? I'm going to go 50%.
Yeah, I'm going to go lower. I don't sense Russia's calling his name as much because I think he realizes he's chasing down Gretzky.
Yeah, he's chasing the goals.
Right? Now,
yeah.
He's getting burned here again with another season last year, probably a short season this year, which might factor in. He might look at it and crunch the numbers and say, I just can't get there. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a lifer in Washington. He's been there for 15 years, which is wild. Like, he's been in the league for 15. Mm-hmm. But if he's representing himself, it might get sticky. You know, he might sit there and say, I still got to be the highest paid guy on the team, even though I'm 36. And I'm the captain, and he's still going to score goals, but the assists are probably going to keep dropping. Total minutes on ice are probably going to start to deplete a little bit. I'll say 25% he walks on them after next year, but that'll be one hell of a story. Until he re-signs, I mean, people are going to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen with Ovechkin?
Joe Thornton scores more points than Jason Spezza this season.
I'm going to say 65% just because I think it's just like when you got buddies and there's a new buddy on the scene. The new buddy gets all the hype, and he's just a new guy in the scene. He's going to be regarded as a guy that can fix the second unit on the power play, maybe even go on the top unit for some time. He's the new toy in town. I'm going to say 65% just based on the fact that I think he might get some more opportunities.
I agree. I'm higher on this. I'm like 85% because I think Thornton is going to get a lot more opportunity than Spezza. I think they're bringing him in not just to be the mentor in the room. I think they could push him to the wing. I think he's going to get power play looks where I think Jason Spezza, if Spezza was on the second power play last year, I think Thornton gets all of that time. Like I really believe, and he's Spezza's a really good player. That's not taking anything away from him. Joe Thornton's an elite passer still, so you have to find him power play time. I think he's going to get more opportunity to get more points.
Yeah, I think he will too. But he's also 4 years older, right? Which at that age, every year counts for that much more.
Oh, agreed.
God, and no kidding.
Spezza played in the bubble. Thornton's been off for a long time, and I know he's doing his thing in Switzerland, but it's not the same. It may take him.
I'm warning Toronto fans, don't pull this garbage that you do all the time. I remember I played with Jason Allison. He had 65 points, second on the team in scoring, and people were like, oh, he just skates too slow. Hate it. Hate him.
Well, get ready now.
No, I know. It's like, don't think you're getting Joe Thornton that's 26 years old. He's 42. He's 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
But don't think you're getting Crosby in his prime or Joe Thornton in his prime. You're not. So when you're watching it and it's not the guy in his prime, don't be stupid about it. That's coming.
That's your warning shot? Okay. I'll say 51%. I'm just into the majority that Jumbo outperformed Spezza. Because Spezza, I think they're going to be kind of close with the bottom six. And maybe
think they'll
both
be tied together?
Both of them might be on that second power play, right? Who else is going to be there? If you have the big boys on the first one, it's going to, at some point, going to get to a point where you're like, okay, who is it? Kerfoot's going to knock one of them out? Mikheyev's going to knock one of them out? I don't know if they will. Hyman's like a net front presence on a power play.
Yeah, you got to get that Nick Robertson some secondary power
you
play.
You
got to
get someone who can score, who can shoot.
I'm not convinced Robertson's on the team.
No, me neither.
This opening night. I think he's there. I still believe, although, we're seeing reports that the AHL is going to get going in February. Mm-hmm. I still think there'll be a taxi squad or guys kicking around. I think Robertson can be there. I think there's going to have other options and maybe allow Robertson to grow somewhere else.
Well, the OHL is returning in February, allegedly, as well. I mean, maybe he goes back to Peterborough. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see once we get there. We got to find a date before we can truly determine all these Jerrys.
Agreed.
Let's see what else Jerry has in store for us.
Tom Brady is starting to heat up and make Hayes and other haters look like clowns. Well, I say he keeps it up and finishes as a top five QB by the end of the season. Jerry says he's gotten himself into the MVP conversation.
Well, the last couple of weeks he has. I mean, he has absolutely lit up the last 2 weeks. You know, I can't fight it. I can't argue it. His numbers are off the charts good in terms of yards, touchdowns, percentage. But I still don't think he's going to be top five, quote unquote, statistically by the end of the season. I
100% think he does. And just like Peyton Manning said in his breakdown, Tom Brady's starting to run the show, and Tom Brady's doing what's best for the Buccaneers and what's best for Tom Brady and his arsenal of weapons.
Ooh.
Therefore, it's 100%.
I'm high on this because I'm going to go back to what you said, Hayes, when Brady went there. If he has a decent season, you know that he's going to get the votes. You know that people behind him, right? It's the Brady train. And
By the way, welcome back, Gronk. 2 weeks in a row, he's looked good.
Yeah,
touchdown receptions, he's alive again.
Yeah, he does look alive. I just think that, you know, Brady's now feeling it, and he's going to get a lot of PR and pub behind him. Especially now that New England is, you know, New England looks like they're in trouble.
Yep.
Although they are, I was telling you earlier, like, I think that they've got a softer schedule, which may help them, but even there's no guarantee they beat those teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but ultimately, I think it's the Brady train right now, so he's going to get a little more pop. So I'm 71% on this.
Yeah, I'm going to say 25%. I got to give credit where it's due. He has looked exceptional the last 2 weeks. Like, he's really played well. He's throwing dimes, and he looks good, and it's working out. I am concerned about Antonio Brown coming in there, and that's all on Brady. Like, I keep hearing and reading the quotes out of Bruce Arians. I don't believe for a second he wants Antonio Brown there. I don't believe it for a second. I think Tom Brady said, we're bringing him here, and Arians has no power. You know,
Arians is on the record. Like, he's got audio where he's like, I'm not bringing that guy here. It's not happening.
He said it during the offseason. He's like, don't ask. We're not bringing him in. No, we're good.
And then all of a sudden he magically is buying into it?
Why do you think? Because Tom is the one that's been pushing for it. So Brady better make sure that works. You got to spread the wealth, man. Like, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, these guys are like, hey, give me the ball. What, do you think Antonio Brown is just going to be a decoy?
Well, you said it better work for Brady. It better work for Antonio Brown because he's probably on a watch where it's like, dude, if you don't get it together by this time, it's just cut bait and see you later. We don't have time to wait around for you.
No. So with that being said, and I'll give you five names right now, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, who I think are going to be better at the end of the season than Brady. When you look at their numbers, their stats, what they're doing. But he's been lights out recently. I think we got one more. We'll keep it for Jerry's After Dark.
Nice.
All right. So it's one more. It's a big one, too, is my understanding.
So it'll be a horny hot take.
It'll be quite the hot take. It's only available every 4 years. Wink, wink. So we'll get to that in about an hour. Back into the World Series. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, on the 6 p.m. hour coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Hazy, right. My golf season came to an end today. I want you to do one thing for me, though. I want you to grab a set of left-handed clubs, and I want to go to an indoor sim and watch you hit it left-handed. Just once.
Yeah, okay,
just...
I'll do that. I'm curious. I want to see what I would shoot. It wouldn't be good. It would be choppy, but
I just want to see your swing because you're a left-handed hockey player. There's no way you should be playing golf right-handed.
Yeah, I should be playing left. I've determined that myself. I've established that. I think we all have. But we'll do it. Yeah, this winter we'll find a way to get indoors.
Yeah.
And I'll play exclusively left, and we'll see what I shoot. And if it works out for me, then maybe I bite the bullet. 2 or 3 years of development, try to get the touch, the rhythm down, and by the time I hit 40.
What do you want out of this? Are you going on the tour or something?
Yeah, maybe
why
on tour.
Just go on
the Champions
enjoyment?
Tour. That's right. No, Champions Tour. No,
seven. You want to be a 70s golfer. You understand the game enough where you should be a 70s golfer. But I mean, I'm not going to say you can't get worse, but I think you should try left.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. I think we should do that. I'm looking. You support that move, right, Noodles? You're on board with that.
I do, but I just think... I want to know what the end game is because you're 83 on average?
Yeah, I'm like, low to mid-80s on average, give or take.
Okay, so
mid-80s.
I feel like if you just worked harder, yeah. in the 83, then you would get into the 70s.
You're right.
No.
But
right.
he's saying change everything for 3 years. In that 3 years, you're going to be completely miserable. You may, you know, quit golf because you'll hate it that much or whatever. And then, you know, you'll get what? You'll struggle. You'll get to 70.
I'd lose patience. You're right. I would get an opportunity to play somewhere. It's like, listen, we got a private bird. We're flying to Pebble, but you only can play left. And I'd be like, I can't. I'm going to snap. I shot 140 yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's and then I'd get all screwed up. I'd try to go back to right, and then that would be a disaster. So I'm probably just going to ride this out, but we'll see.
Yeah, just maximize what you have.
Maximize the limited ability I have right now. I'm with you on that. Back into the World Series and how kind of crazy last night was with so many different storylines coming out of it. News out of the NBA as well in terms of what the players are looking for a start date. We'll tell you about that. And an update on Terrence Davis and his situation being arrested in New York last night. He has been arraigned. He has been charged. And it's pretty significant what's going on with Terrence Davis. So we'll tell you about that. We'll get into it as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.